Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And good morning to you, Tedline. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord Jesus, help us this morning. Help us get this message that you would receive glory, honor, and praise. We thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And Father, help us. Help us, more of you and less of us. We pray. I bind and rebuke all witchcraft, all witches, all wizards, all shamans, all sorcery. And I destroy the power opposing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through any evil human spirit. On this line, I break the power for them to spew out any doubt and unbelief, for them to unloose any binding spirits. I ask you for sufficient legions of angels to bind up spirits that would come on this line that would oppose the spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I started talking to you yesterday, and after I got off the tail line, I began to just ask my staff some questions, which I do almost a lot. And I have other people I call up too, and I ask them, what did you get from the TED line this morning? And the reason I do that is that I know God has some place that he's taking you. I know he's taking me anyway. And I'm trying to take you with me. And I want to see, because, see, I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself because no goodness lies in the flesh. You know that. So I want to make sure I'm whatever I'm conveying from the Lord, that I'm conveying it accurately and precisely. Precisely. So I always get feedback. What you get? What did the Lord show you? How'd you receive that? And I got good feedback, but I didn't feel like I explained it enough because of the fact that I was typing all the way up until the time I came on the TED line. And believe you me, I knew I didn't have all that message. And yesterday, throughout the whole day, the Lord was ministering to me. And God has told me something, and I'm to complete it. It ain't nothing woo, 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 nothing like that. It's just simple. Clean up your house. Get your house ready. Get your house organized. Because I'm getting ready to do some wonderful things. I'm getting ready to bring some people to your house. Okay? And I need you to get it in the state you had it when I sent the last big group of people, or the first big group here in Walterboro. And from the moment God told me that, about a couple of weeks ago, I mean, every kind of distraction, I'm still not done. But I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm going to share something with you. Whenever God tells me that he's getting ready for something, elevation of some kind. Now, there's been a wonderful, wonderful spiritual elevation And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people that when I did the first headline, they're not here anymore. Because they thought the little bit that they got was more than they had heard, or maybe God just had them here for that little bit. But brothers and sisters, God never runs out of revelation about himself. God is always revealing himself to us. And that's why so many Christians probably aren't where they are today. And I'm speaking overall because they quit. They quit right before the point where God needs them to be in order for him to impart into them. Because you really want it from God. Trust, if you don't believe nothing else I ever say, you want it from God. And my objective in ministry is only one thing: to get you to God where you can receive from him. Because see, when you get it from God, nobody can ever make you doubt. The devil can't even make you doubt when you get it from God. The devil can't make you back up, and the devil cannot put any unbelief in what you get from God, our Father, Jesus, his Son, and his Holy Spirit. And to be quite frank, the reason some of you are on the TED line, the reason some of you went to Omega Man Radio was only one reason, and that was because God drew you. God drew you so that you could receive what you needed in the next phase of your walk with himself. That's how you got there. And then that's how some of you got here. Or some minister or some person that cared about your soul. You see, brothers and sisters, that soul and that spirit gonna live in eternity forever. The body will be dead and gone. But that's not all of you that exist. And praise God, God can even sustain and give you more days in the body, your physical body. So, yesterday, God opened that up, and I didn't finish it. And I had said I wanted to talk about witchcraft, but you know what? I'm not. Because until you know God, you ain't even no threat to a witch. You're not a threat to a witch because you ain't got nothing to stand. Oh, boy. You need Jesus alive and living in you. And nothing but Jesus. I'm shocked at how many people think they can get something from God and don't know Jesus. And don't know God personally, intimately, relationally. But I talk to them and they tell me, some of them be crying. I'm saved. Well, how can you be saved apart from Jesus? How can you be saved and not know God? How can you be saved and not know the Holy Spirit? When upon receiving salvation, you received all of that. And that's because so many people are I can't even explain it. It just makes no sense. How can you receive from something or somebody if you don't know what you're trying to receive from? It just makes no sense. And how can you be delivered except you first be saved? But I take that back, because God will deliver you and then save you. But the problem with most of the people today, they get a little bit, think that's it, and run on. And then they run back when they realize they don't have enough. And what they don't realize is now they're seven times worse, or seven times worse, because of this foolishness. People think that when they get delivered and go back, that when it says, excuse me, when it says that the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it goes into dry places seeking rest. And then it comes back and searches the house out to see if the house is full of God and full of the Holy Spirit. And then it says it goes and brings seven worse spirits. That's not just seven, brothers and sisters. That's seven for everyone you got cast out. So if it was only one, which we know that there's no such thing as one demon. Demons travel in groups. That is. Why they're able to latch on to people and do such, and have rather, such damaging effects in their whole life, in their whole spirit, soul, and body. So if it was such a thing as like one demon, and you could just, you know, knock that out. But there is no such thing as one demon. They travel in packs like dogs. You got one demon, you got a bunch of demons. So yesterday, out the clear blue, the Holy Spirit dropped that teaching, that message. And I haven't even had time. I taught on the atonement one time for 16 months. For 16 months, I taught on the atonement and the benefits of the atonement, meaning the benefits of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and the cross. I taught a year and a half on that one thing. And I went to look it up, but I didn't really have time, because I'm trying to get this assignment done that God told me to do, so that he could take me on to what I got, whatever this next phase is. But listen, this is my point to you this morning. I want you to just take a few seconds, and I want you to think about what, truthfully and honestly, think about what God has called you to do. What does he call you to do? You see, when God saved you, and I say this a million times, all the time, when God saved you, he did not save you for yourself. He saved you for himself. Is the case, which it is. Do you know that you're not going to be happy until you're in that and doing that, whatever that is? You're not going to be fulfilled until you're in that and doing that, whatever that may be. I don't know. You know. If you don't know, you can ask God. He'll tell you. I really want you to to take a few minutes and think about that, because once you get that clear, God can then go ahead and take you honestly into where he has predestined you to be in the first place. You see, a lot of you are somewhat confused by the fact that you think you can do it yourself. You think you can be all God wants you to be. I remember the Army slogan, be all that you can be. You can never be all that you can be until you be what God has called you to be, because you're in the process of becoming that now. That's what the big fight is really all about. What fight? The fight between the devil and your flesh. The devil wants you to keep being deceived into thinking you can be a self-made whatever. Well, trust this, you can be a self-made whatever, but I want you to know being a God-made man or a God-made woman supersedes that. That's why if you study the history of all successful, really successful men and women, you're going to find God in the forefront, and you're going to find the principles of God, and you're going to find the laws of God alive in their heart, whether or not they acknowledge them, and most of them will acknowledge them as having come from God, having been initiated by God, and being carried through by God. They may call him God, but we know that no man goes to God except by Jesus. So I need you to think about that this morning. And if you're on here to learn something about witches, hang up. I can't teach nothing about no witches and no witchcraft and God at the same time. It's impossible for me to do. I'm not doing it anyway. You know why? Because God has to be glorified. Satan, brothers and sisters, I know about him. I know about him. Devils and demons, I know about them too. But this is not their time. This is not their season. What am I saying about that? You know, Ecclesiastes, to every time there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. This is the time right now when God is revealing himself. And through the revelation of Jesus and through the revelation of God and by the revelation of God's Holy Spirit, Satan will remain defeated and witches will remain defeated. Evil human spirits and witchcraft. And understand something. I'm going to teach a lot, because witchcraft is my enemy. Witches are my enemies. I'm not deceived in that area one bit. There ain't a witch alive that would pray for me to live. There ain't a witch alive that would pray for me to be blessed. There is not a witch alive that would pray that I walk and move and live in divine health, divine prosperity, divine success. But that kingdom is coming down, and I'm going to be a part of its destruction. But I must exalt the name of Jesus. I must teach, preach, proclaim and demonstrate the power of God upon this earth today, the power of God in you today, so that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven so that the word will become alive when Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Listen, witchcraft is not my problem. I am a problem for the witches. I am a problem for the spirit of witchcraft. They're not my problem. I am their problem. And I'm a problem that's not going to go away. In the name of Jesus. Satan is not my problem. I am his problem. Because I know he's a defeated foe. I am his problem. You are his problem if you know and believe and demonstrate the power of God on this earth. Brothers and sisters, yesterday told you and shared with you our ministry, along with a few others on this earth realm, have been called, chosen, anointed, and appointed to turn men and women from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to the power of God. And I explained to you yesterday, I really wish you would study the atonement, the difference between being redeemed and forgiven. And I told you yesterday that redemption came at the point of salvation, and that forgiveness follows redemption in the heart of the believer for their sins thus forward. You only redeem one time by the blood of the Lamb. Then I went on, and this is the point where I didn't know. I was telling you about the glory and the transfiguration. So if you will open your Bible and go to Matthew 17. I want to teach just a little bit about it more. I want you to get this. You got to get it. Say, help me, Holy Spirit, get this. Because there's no counterfeiting it, brothers and sisters. Matthew chapter 17. Oh, let me open. My own Bible. Matthew chapter 17. I'm reading from the Authorized King James Version 1611 Bible. And I got my Aramaic Bible open too. The George S. Lamsa Peshitta Aramaic Bible. It says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Verse 2. And was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment, what he was clothed in, covered with, was white as the light. Now I'm going to stop right here, because I didn't make this as clear as I could have. It says in verse 2, talking about Jesus, and Jesus was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Okay, his face throughout the Bible, that face is referred to as his countenance. Countenance is easiest to remember as a noun. Countenance just means face or appearance. So Jesus's face up there on that mountain shine as the sun. In Exodus, it talks about when Moses went up on the mountain of God, came back, that his face shined to the point that he had to cover it up as a man. In John chapter 14, verse 29 through 31, I explained to you that when I ministered to people, deliverance, integrated healing prayer model. Let me clarify that. Which is a deliverance prayer model that I developed by the Holy Ghost 20 something years ago. I said that I tell people, go look in the mirror. Go look at yourself. Tell me what you see. Up until yesterday, I didn't talk about it because it just happens all the time. And I tell people, I said, you're going to be your original color. Because whatever you look like right now is because of demons and whatever the demonic influence has caused. But for one thing, it causes your countenance to be black. So in effect, it makes your skin color a shade darker. So when a person is delivered and experiences real deliverance, their countenance changes. Their skin color changes. And it has to change, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to go into this a little bit more because I want to show you something. And I want you to know the benefits of being delivered, the benefit to God of your being delivered. Do you think when it was prophesied of Jesus in Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to deliver the captives, loose the captives. Do you think, really now, truthfully, that God would do that without allowing the person to know within themselves that they've been changed? That's why when people get delivered, you know, they'll say, man, I feel so much better. I feel light because sin has a weight. The Bible tells you that. So when demons and evil spirits and bad spirits are in your body, there's a weightiness about them. But every area that they're in your body is D-A-R-K, dark. So it ought to make sense that when the darkness is gone, that the light will come in. And it ought to make sense that light is light. And Jesus said that the darkness comprehended not the light. That's John chapter 1, verse 1. The light was in the world, but the darkness comprehended not the light. So what I found out over the years is that when I can get a person really delivered, their countenance changes. Because their body changes. How does their body changes? Because the weight of sin is darkness, which is manifested and brought on through and by demons. So when the demons go, the darkness goes, and light, who is like Jesus, comes in. Because the darkness cannot comprehend the light. I need to add that to this. See, I'm loving Jesus because he's just adding to this. I'm not through with this yet. Okay. That would be John chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's over there in Genesis chapter 1. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, get this right here. In him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Then it goes on to say, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now here it is. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That light is the glory. So what happens when you get delivered, when you make up your mind that you really want to cooperate with God, and in that cooperating with God, you, brothers and sisters, as the devil, the demons, and the darkness is cast out, you become saturated with the glory of God. It can't be counterfeited. It can't be duplicated. It can't be conjured up. And it doesn't come through any ritual. It comes by the presence of the living God, not having any restrictions upon him coming through your spirit, passing through your soul, passing through your physical body, and being made manifest, revealed. It says here in John chapter 14, verse 29 through 31, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. Look what Jesus said. For the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. The prince of this world is coming, Jesus said, but he don't have nothing in him. That the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I arise. But even Jesus didn't take everybody up on top of that mountain so that they could be a witness to his transfiguration, so that they could be a witness to the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, as God was sharing that with me and I was sharing it with you yesterday, I pulled my Bible out. And you know what? That Aaronic prayer in Numbers, look what it says. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I began to look that thing up even further. And it talked about Cain's countenance was fallen over there in Genesis. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? And what happened? He went on. You know, God told him, sin is waiting at the door for you. Then I found, like, over there in Genesis, it talked about Laban, Jacob. Jacob looked upon the countenance of Laban and said it was not toward him. Brothers and sisters, you look this up when you have time. From Genesis, it said, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me. That's what Jacob said. Remember, I always talk about you got to have that discerning gift. In Exodus 23:3, it says, it talks about the countenance of a poor man. Brothers and sisters, in Deuteronomy, it talks about a nation of fierce countenance. In Judges, the way the woman was able to identify a man of God was, she said, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. But he didn't tell me his name. God tells you know no man by the flesh. So the countenance. It talks about a sad countenance over there in 1 Samuel. You know, brothers and sisters, what did God, when God told Samuel, he said, look not on his countenance. And then it goes on to say, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. He was talking about David. It says that David was ruddy looking, 1 Samuel 16, but he had a beautiful countenance. And what did God say? Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Who was he? The one with the beautiful countenance. I'm telling you, I told you. You can't counterfeit it. You can't fake it. But when you get delivered, your countenance changes. When you are really delivered, when you are really delivered, you have a beautiful countenance, or a demonstration made manifest on this earth of the glory of God, brothers and sisters. So, it ain't all about your devils and your demons. Thank God for deliverance. Has the power to glorify God from the inside to the outside. And you know what? That ain't no microwave deliverance, brothers and sisters. Somebody gonna have to labor with you for that. And they're gonna have to work with you till God say it's done. Until your countenance changes. Now the problem is, are you for real? Or do you just want, like a long time ago they used to have that commercial, Alka-Seltzer, oh what a relief it is. It's like when I used to minister to drug addicts. When I used to minister to crack addicts and heroin addicts, the first thing I would ask them, are you just tired from this drug run? Are you just looking for some relief so you can come in and get fatted up and rested up and go back out there on another run and make yourself look like you look right now, full of the devil? Because if you are, get out of my house. I don't have time for that. Brothers and sisters, Psalm 10 and 4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God, God is not in all his thoughts. Could it be? Could it be because in Psalm 11:7 it says, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness; his countenance doth behold the upright." Brothers and sisters, you're supposed to be changed. Deliverance is not a quick fix, it's a permanent fix. But the problem is most of you come and you want to tell the deliverance minister what to do. If you knew all that, you should have been walking in a glorified, bright countenance, and you shouldn't need any help. Some of you think it's going to come through knowledge. Well, this is knowledge, but it's going to come through work. It's going to come through an act of your will, because Psalm 42:11 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God." Brothers and sisters, if your countenance haven't changed, you ain't delivered. You might be in the process of being delivered, but when you get it, whoo. Psalm 89:15 say, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." You know what else Psalm 90:8 say? "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sin in the light of thy countenance." Proverbs 15:13. "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." See, oh, many of you, you just wanted that quick fix. You just want that little bit of feel good. But God got something better than the little bit of feel good. He got a feel good permanently forever. Proverbs 16:15. "In the light of the king's countenance is light, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain." Proverbs 27:17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Brothers and sisters, you can be delivered. You can be changed. You can be full of the glory of God. And it can be visible, tangible. It can be seen and it can be felt. And it can be heard. Why? Because your conversation changes. Remember what Daniel said when he told him he wasn't going to eat that devil food? He said, "Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants." It said, at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. You look it up. Be like the Bereans. Look it up for yourself. Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 says, "And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up." But you know what else I found? The real purpose of fasting, brothers and sisters. Remember what they said about Jesus? In Matthew 28 and 3, he said, his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. But look here in Luke chapter 9, verse 29, it says, "And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistening." Brothers and sisters, Christ is in you. Jesus said, "I am in the Father is in me, and the Father and I are in you." In Acts 2:28, it says, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Now, I want to read something to you here. You decide. You ask God to show you for yourself. But if deliverance is supposed to bring a change, if deliverance is able to change you to the point that your countenance changes, God is able to do a complete work in you if you let him. Revelation chapter 1, this is what I'm so thrilled about. 1 through 17, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, talking about John, to Jesus, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and then unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, look at this, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth with a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance, was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Brothers and sisters, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I want to read to you now Revelation 16, brothers and sisters, 1, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. I'm about to get excited here. Brothers and sisters, hallelujah. You see, brothers and sisters, that glory can't come through you if you ain't delivered. That glory can't be seen upon you if you ain't delivered. That glory is not manifest in you, brothers and sisters, if your countenance is still black. Revelation 16, 1 through 16. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the 7 angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea, brothers and sisters. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat, and blaspheme the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Brothers and sisters, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw 3 unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Look at here. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters, what is that garment? you clothed with. It is the glory of God Almighty, brothers and sisters. It goes on to say in 16:16, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with Jesus, and said unto them, let us make here three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elias. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this morning, Jesus came, touched them, said, arise and be not afraid. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says you must be born again. You got to be delivered. You got to be delivered. The glory of the Lord God wants to rest upon you. The glory of the Lord God wants to shine upon you. The glory of the Lord God wants to shine through you. You got to be delivered. Jesus is the light that shines in darkness. The darkness can't comprehend it. You got to be delivered. And you got to be delivered for real. No more games. It's hysterica. I'll see you tomorrow on the TED line. People come up to people and say, I don't know what it is. It's something about you. It's called a glory. It's called a glory. It's called a glory. And there appeared at the tomb a woman out of whom seven devils had been cast out. Why? Because the glory was upon her. More so, obviously, than the others. See you tomorrow on the TED line.
This is a song that my father-in-law wrote. The title of the song is You Keep On Blessing Me. Over and over again. Come on, y'all.
Over and over again.
Here we go.
Let's try this. Clap your hands. Come on.
You keep on blessing me.
You keep on blessing me.
You keep on blessing me.
You keep on blessing me.